Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Hey, it's Brian Beebe. I hope you're not mad at me. I don't know exactly what happened. I left the house in the Dells in plenty of time, and I got down here close, and a friend of mine texted me and said, "Well, you're not on Facebook." I thought it was 2:15 or 2:30 or so, and I look at the clock, it's 12 minutes after 3, so I apologize for the delay, and I hope you guys will call back in. Are you hearing this, man? All right. It's Brian Beebe, and we are once again brought to you by Monk's at Bar and Grill, and six locations in Wisconsin, and by Sorrento's at the Wilderness, where I play four nights a week, Thursday through Sunday at 7 p.m. I'm flustered because I can't believe I was late and left everybody wondering. I've had all these texts, and Mike, our tech guru, has already had phone calls, and they're all worried about me. But I'm fine, and maybe you'll call in again and just tell me that I'm forgiven or something. Call in 608-210-1667. And we'll talk about whatever you want. I have a kind of a plan for what to talk about today, but I've done you wrong, and I feel a penitent, and now I'll let you talk about whatever you call in and want to talk about. today I was going to... we've talked about so many things over the 15 or 20 podcasts that I've done here so far, and... I try to kind of judge the quality of our subject by how many people call in and participate in the discussion. And I'm not sure that's the way to measure it. I'll tell you what we've talked about, and you can call in and tell me what you want to talk about. Well, we've talked about the Beatles a number of times. We've talked about enduring songs from generations ago that and why they last, and we've talked about songs from our era that we think are going to last into the future, and we've had people call in, and then we talked about tried to talk about the Dells and vacations, and favorite ones you've taken and favorite ones you've hoping to take in the future. That didn't work so good, but I don't think it's a bad subject. Maybe it's just because we moved the time from Wednesday to Tuesday about that same time, and we changed the time. Anyway, then we talked about local bands. We talked about which ones we really enjoyed when we were kids, which ones we thought would make it, which ones did. We talked about your favorites, our favorites. Then... We had people call for that one, Mike, didn't we?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. And then we talked about Sgt. Pepper's. The 50-year anniversary is here. And we talked about remake albums or tribute albums at the same time. And
joke songs.
We did the one about the dead teenagers and novelty songs. We did novelty songs, and then a different show was the 60s period when for a while there you couldn't have a hit song without having a teenager die in a car wreck or in a motorcycle accident. And it was back in the 60s, before the Beatles hit, there was some confusion and some strangeness in the pop music charts. But anyway, we've talked about a number of times my association with Cheap Trick and Robin Zander and the early days up in the Dells. Not in detail, but we have. We talked about original songs And whatever people called in about, I can't even remember them all now, but if you go on MadisonTalks.com anytime, 24/7, you will see all, you'll see my name, and all my podcasts that I've done so far are archived there, just the audio, but Mike or somebody has done a little synopsis over each one to kind of tell you ahead of time what we talk about that particular hour, and it's been fun. I generally try to keep it towards music because that's what I know the most about. I mean, I could talk about politics. We've talked about the windmills down by Sauk City, and we've
talked too much wind.
Yeah, too much wind, not enough wind, whatever. And we talked about my years at the psychiatric unit of the hospital. We haven't done that show yet.
It's coming.
Yeah. And we've told a lot of jokes. Mother's Day. We did Father's Day. We did Mother's Day jokes. Now it's 4th of July coming up. And it seems to me a little bit odd that you can go down to Walmart and buy a gun, but you have to smuggle fireworks across state lines.
Yeah, this is pretty rough.
What's going on? You can go down to, anybody can buy a gun, but not fireworks. Well, sparklers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dangerous. In the wrong hands.
Yeah, in the wrong hands. And you know what? There was a movie scene I remember where they talked about the fireworks. And it was an analogy for pressure, but if you have a firecracker in your hand and it blows up, you get a little burn on your hand. But if you close your fingers around that firecracker and it blows up, your fingers blow off.
Yeah,
it's
bad
deal. the pressure around that explosion so don't hold one in your hand for whatever reason this 4th of July. How many times have Mike and I think we talked about it, you get them back here, you're about to throw it, and it blows up right next to your next to your ear, and boy, you are deaf for days after
ringing,
that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I can't hear anything above 10K.
No. But don't throw them. Don't light them and throw them. In fact, don't light them at all. Firecrackers okay, they're fun when you're a kid. I never blew up frogs or cats, though.
No,
did you?
No.
Bottles and cans and bottle rockets.
I heard
somebody talking the other day about we used to put them in a bottle,
of course,
or a can, and blow them up in the air and watch them, you know, shoot way up. But I had somebody tell me that they used to have little wars with them. Was that you?
Oh, no, but yeah,
you could light them off and shoot them at each other and try to dodge.
Candles, too.
Yeah. Bottle rockets, Roman candles. I mean, I never thought of those kind of wild-ass things, man. I was kind of a wild-ass kid, but not really. Apparently, I was pretty tame compared to people who shot bottle rockets at each other. And my friend John Holmwood and I, we used to settle in the back of the comic books. You could buy rockets.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And take them home and get them sent to you in the mail, and you make them, and they would go like, you know, 1,500 feet in the air.
These, yeah.
But they had a kind of a round battery shaped fuel,
mm-hmm,
that burnt, you know, and it burned all the way up to that top height, and then they had parachutes on them, and so you could watch them come down and go get them and load them up again and fire them again if they were
saved the astronauts.
That was fun, but we never thought about shooting them at each other.
Oh no.
Those are pretty powerful things.
Those are powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about my wife had a gun last. I think I told you that story about we were talking about getting a gun at the house, and my wife said, "Oh, I already have a gun." Did I tell you this story?
No.
Yeah. So I said, "What?
Awesome.
You got a gun?" I never knew she had a gun.
Yeah.
So I says, "Let's see this gun." So she goes in the back room and comes out with a it's still in the plastic that hangs on the peg at the store, you know?
Yeah.
A BB pistol.
The airsoft?
Yeah, a BB pistol. And I said, and it's never even taken it out of the plastic, you know, right. There it is. And we marveled at it, because I lived next to the woods, and I wanted to go out and shoot some cans or, you know, trees, or not shooting anything, but... So I said, okay, this looks like fun. And we took it out of the package, and here's the BBs, and neither one of us was strong enough to pull back the spring,
yeah.
You know, so we could load the BBs into it. So, I mean, that's another project that's just on the shelf. But anyway, today, because when we talked about the Beatles, a couple of different times we talked about the Beatles, because... once or twice the Beatles were a subject for what we were talking about, and then a couple of other times my friends Stevie Ray Nelson and others call in, and the conversation just drifted back to the Beatles, because we both always liked them and know so much about them, or think we know so much about them. But anyway, today I was thinking I would try to get back to the Beatles, because it has been a few months, and talk about people my age. I wish I could make this podcast interesting to more than just people my age, but I'm struggling with that. But people that are my age will remember that when the Beatles came, and the Stones shortly after, there was a real divide between Beatles fans and Rolling Stones fans.
Oh, yeah.
You, when you were the Beatles fan, you could not be a Stones fan too. I mean, it just wasn't done. You had to choose, and I wanted to talk a little bit today about that rift between the Beatles and the Stones, the Beatles fans and the Stones fans, and also. A lot of interesting connections between the Beatles and the Stones. So please call in. We're behind schedule, but I hope you're still listening. It's 608-210-1667. And we'll talk a little bit about the Beatles and the Stones. And I'll try to come up with a new joke or two. Oh, the weather. Hasn't the weather been strange? But it only rained twice last week. Once for 3 days and once for 4 days. There's a call. All right, we'll get a call in here maybe then, and then start after the break talking about the Beatles and the Stones. Who's on the phone?
Got Mike Massey on the phone.
Hey, Mike Massey. I hope you didn't call in earlier and find me not here.
Pardon me?
I hope you didn't call in earlier and find me not here.
No.
I got here 15 minutes late today. And I don't have a good excuse. The traffic.
The traffic
on the interstate was expected it to be busy, and I left early because of it. But it wasn't bad. And that's not it. I don't know. I just I don't have a clear hold on what's going on around me most of the time anymore. It's that
just all swirling around.
It's getting that way. I mean, I just it's not even just you walk into the back room and say, now what did I come in here for? I don't have that. I have that going on, but you know what? I caught myself talking to myself, and then I asked myself a question the other day. I went into the laundry room, Mike, and I said, and I was thinking about somebody, and I said to myself out loud, I don't know that guy. But then I added, do you? I don't know who I was talking to. But I said, I'm sure I don't know that guy. Do you? And I set myself, boy, that is bad. It's one thing when you talk to yourself and when you answer yourself. But then if you if you ask yourself a question afterwards, you know you're struggling with reality, I think. I don't know.
Or it's possible that you're a genius.
Yeah, and I just became a genius in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's possible.
It wasn't when I was a kid, but now because I'm topsy-turvy, I might just be a genius.
The second personality, that's what you were asking. Do you? Do
you know that guy? Yeah, the other guy, that second guy, third guy, yeah. And I've done that more than once, too, just so you know. Mike, how are you, man? What are you doing today?
I'm good. You? You sound good.
Do you? Yeah.
Do you?
Hey, what do you remember about the you're not as old as me, but do you remember when the Beatles came out and the Stones came out and you couldn't be both a Beatle fan and a Stones fan?
I remember it being a debate. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you really did have to be in one camp or the other.
Yeah.
And it was almost like right and left politically.
Oh, yeah. People were adamant about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I find myself really appreciating both so much.
Yeah, me too.
You look at the body of the Beatles' work and the genius, to use that word again, of their composition. But then you look at the Stones, and really, in retrospect, they also had their own special brand of genius. Plus, you have to add that longevity in there. I mean, to think about the fact that they're still selling out stadiums is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, and you know, it's not because, I mean, their tour might make $200 million, but that's not why they do it. It's really, they don't
need it.
No. And they don't, surely don't need it at 70 years old.
No, well, pass it on to their children, I suppose.
Yeah, there's only so much the kids can spend, too. These guys, when they croak, they're going to leave, a half a billion, I'd say. Mick has got to probably be worth, huh?
You know Robert J., correct?
Yeah.
Of course. Robert J.'s daughter, Christina, worked at a few years ago as concierge at the Four Seasons in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah?
And the Stones came through playing Candlestick Park, or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
And they rented the entire top floor of the Four Seasons to stay there. One room was set up as a game room with a pool table, and one room was a hospitality suite, and they all had their presidential suites separately. And if they did that in every city, think about their expenses.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? They didn't shoot pool. They didn't shoot pool. They didn't see each other for a second when they weren't at practice or on stage.
Probably. You're probably right.
No, they didn't shoot pool. But they had to have that. They had to have the pool room. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But, you know, if you, and you and I have been playing long enough, and if you did have to go out for a lengthy tour all over the country, and you could afford it, you would make sure you went in style. You would make sure that you went comfortably.
Yeah, and especially at their age.
Yeah.
You know, although they've been traveling in comfort for quite some time. But,
right. And so you get used to it. So you got to have those lush. And here's another thing that the big time rock bands have to do on tour is that we get so many people following them and telling the stories and, you know, reporting on them, that if they don't have something amazingly outrageous like that, somebody might think that they were falling off, you know, they were drifting back, you know, because, you know, is it a competition between the Who and the Stones and some of these big to be as outrageous as they can be?
Somebody might think they're getting old.
and now they're staying at La Quinta Inns, you know. And, I know. Yeah, yeah. Red Roof Inns, you know, because they just, you know, all they want is something quiet and out of the way. And the airport, something, they're just fine. La Quinta. Mm-hmm.
You know, going back to the Stones versus the Beatles, I think that unbeknownst to most of the public, they had a pretty amiable relationship through most of the years.
They sure did.
I mean, one of the Stones' first albums did a Lennon-McCartney composition.
Yeah. I want to be your lover, baby. I want to be your man. And they both did that one, too. Ringo sang that, too. That was a big, one of the first hits from the Stones, and they got that song from the Beatles. That was really cool.
Yep, and the Stones were present on the big BBC telecast of All You Need Is Love.
Yeah,
they were sitting there swaying.
No, I think it was just Mick, wasn't it? But
well, maybe it was.
But anyway, yeah. I thought about that today when I was putting these thoughts together for the show. Didn't that make them seem a little bit subservient? I mean, here's the first worldwide broadcast, millions of people tuning in, and Mick is on the floor with all the rest of the dopes, you know, just singing, all you need is love, you know what I mean?
But it also might have played into their image of being salt of the earth and being more, you know, more of the people.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing anybody else famous in that video in the crowd, though.
Well, I think there were quite a few.
Were there?
Like Melanie and people that had hit. Donovan was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good. Nothing you can do is can't be done.
Yep.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. That was, and it was in France, you know. So I mean, I don't know. Probably depending on who was in France at the moment or whatever. But you know,
I sang harmony to you, it probably wouldn't come over the phone, would it?
I might. I don't know. I'll try it. Love, 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 love. Can't be done. I don't know. Maybe, did it come through, Mike?
There's a little delay.
Hey, you know, there was another thing that was an interesting bit in the collusions and connections between. First of all, I was just going to establish something for anybody who doesn't know. I mean, the Beatles came out. They were pop and they were fun and they were energetic and they were wholesome. Suits on, suits and ties, and here's the Stones with their black and their leather, and they started right out in 64. They had a big "It's All Over Now," but in 65, here, "Get Off My Cloud." Cloud was supposed to be a euphemism for a prostitute. "Satisfaction" was pretty dark for most parents and most.
Yeah, yeah.
"Last Time," and. And then in 66, God, it really got painted black. "Mother's Little Helper," "19th Nervous Breakdown." "Have You Seen Your Mother, Baby, Standing in the Shadows?" I mean, that was a, "Have You Had Another Baby, Standing in the Shadows?" They were going for dark. I don't know if they were trying to separate themselves from all of it. But then, let me just finish this and then hold on to that thought. You know, in 66, the story was, in 1966, Paul was killed in a car accident. Remember that story? He picked up a hitchhiker, and she recognized him and swooned over him, and he ran off the road, sheared off the top of his head. He had a telephone pole shirt on. And so they didn't tour anymore after 66. Anyway, here comes 1967. On the front cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and we were students of this Paul McCartney death mystery thing. On the front, on the lower left-hand corner of the cover, there's a little doll with a sweatshirt on that says, "Welcome the Rolling Stones," okay?
Yep.
All right, now, apparently, the story goes that Paul, was killed. And on a Tuesday, 1966. So what do you suppose the Stones come out with that year? "Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you when you change with every new day? Still, I'm sure I'm gonna miss you." I mean, if it's not about that, what is it about? There was so many of those songs that came out after that time in 66 that you had to wonder what they were about if they weren't about the McCartney being killed, you know. "How does it feel to be one of the beautiful people?" You know, because isn't that kind of a neat "Goodbye Ruby Tuesday" and the Stones right after Paul in the 67 and he's out there on the front cover of Sgt. Pepper. You know, it's some neat connections there, too.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say when I tried to interrupt you.
Well, and you couldn't do it because I was off on a roll. Yeah, I know.
But I was going to say they really pushed each other. I mean, 66, they stopped touring, but they came out with Revolver, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And, you know, so all of a sudden this massive art is being created that seminal and never been done before.
Yeah.
And the Stones pushed each other, and Stones and Beatles pushed each other, and played off of each other. And
they were two different types of entities, because the Beatles really tried to be as good as they could be.
Yep.
Until Lennon got really onto his Yoko Ono period, and they really tried the minimalist kind of thing. But
but
the Stones, on the other hand, if things started to sound too good, they would erase everything and drink some more Jack Daniels and start over. Do you know what I mean?
Kind of like Aerosmith.
Yeah, because they didn't. Because they didn't want it to start sounding too good, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were going for the shock value of the lyrics too, man. It wasn't about pretty when they were singing I'm so hot for her, I'm so hot for her, I'm so hot for her, and she's so old, you know what I mean? Those kind of things. And Sympathy for the Devil, they weren't trying to impress anybody in the highest forms in that one. No,
but it was brilliant in that, you know, they were being themselves, and they were obviously came from a much more blues-based era, and the Beatles came from more American R&B.
Yeah.
It was brilliant in that they had to be different than the Beatles. They couldn't be a Beatles copy.
No. Like so many other groups from the 60s, were.
If they wanted to create their own legacy, they needed to be different. But, you know, they had the advantage of the so-called British invasion to sweep them along with the wave, but they were genius in their own right.
Well, Brian Jones and Keith Richards were both steeped in the blues, and they I don't know if they even wanted to be pop stars. They just wanted to be in a band and play their version of these blues and Chuck Berry songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fame just swept them up, maybe without them even intending it to, you know.
A quick side note.
Yeah.
I just recently saw a YouTube video that just dusted me, and it was, you know, people look at Keith Richards and you've got some of the most iconic solos in history.
Yeah.
But I saw a YouTube video of him playing flamenco guitar that was just mind-blowing.
Terrific.
He's an amazing musician.
Yeah.
That people don't realize.
Yeah, it's about maintaining that image, having the cigarette going, and on stage, and playing those blues. Yeah, he's an expert on alternate tunings for the guitar, and he does come up with, I don't know if it's tone, it is tone, but also, yeah, without playing a lot and playing technically fast, great, anything, he has invented so many just fabulously amazing guitar parts.
Yep.
And that we all remember, you know? Yeah. That's supposed to be brown sugar, could you tell?
Yeah, I could tell.
And then there's just a... I met a Zinzel Barroom Queen in Memphis. That was 67 too, man. They weren't trying to be pretty, man. They just
weren't. So think about those songs that came out, and then Sgt. Pepper.
Oh yeah, and then Jesse Jackson had a lot to talk about when they did Brown Sugar. It was and Miss You. And the hey man, we're gonna come around the square with some Puerto Rican girls that's just dying to meet you. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. And they just I don't know if they went to art college and they were influenced by darkish kinds of things. Hey, listen, Mike, we're gonna go to break, but I'm gonna come back and hang on. Let's talk about the Beatles for a while too.
All right,
man. It's Brian Beebe and the Brian Beebe Show on MadisonTalks.com, live on Facebook, and
We're talking about the Beatles and the Stones. Call in 608-210-1667.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
I hate to say it, but I told you so. Don't mind my preaching to you.
The Bo Brummels, man.
Trust them, baby, now you know.
It's true. Cool stuff. The Bo Brummels. In the British invasion, they were an American act. But anyway, Mike Massey's on the phone, and Ed Legg has just called in, too. We talked about the Stones, kind of. Did you guys know that the Stones have done 30 studio albums? Does that seem like a lot?
That is,
I mean, that's not even compilations and live albums and stuff. And that's just U.S. too.
Go ahead.
Hey, let me introduce you, man. Ed Legg is on the line from Capital Newspapers. He's works out of the Dells, but he just put a pretty cool article in about music all over that part of Wisconsin, and it featured a nice picture of Mike Brockabelt, our studio technician, and me, and doing one of our podcasts. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm all right. I just did a spit take all over my iPhone. But
well, you are correct, sir. There you are.
Yes. Yeah.
I think you and Mike Massey have talked before on this show. Ed, you guys are both musicians. Ed's a drummer from Georgia, from Augusta, Georgia. Is it Augusta? No, it's Decatur. What town in Georgia?
Decatur.
Yeah.
Decatur,
and Mike Massey is a music legend from Madison, Wisconsin. Yes, I know. You have to.
I'm honored, Mike.
You have to try to deflect the compliments. I understand, but it
builds me up too much.
Yeah. Well, I don't tell them Oscar Mayer story anymore.
You haven't told that one yet.
No, I have never told it.
He told it last week.
No, I have not, because Mike Massey has he never blushes about much, but he blushes about that story. It happened at Headliners, which is a fabulous huge club downtown Madison, and it involved Oscar Mayer and his band. But that's all I'll tell you. Hey, do you guys, either one of you, have a favorite Stones album or a favorite Beatles album over and above every other competing masterpiece?
I'm kind of a Let It Bleed guy.
You played
basically I think the best opening to a rock song ever writ, mm-hmm. My Brother.
Yeah, I like that song.
That would be Gimme Shelter.
Oh yeah, that was cool. Mary Clayton. Yeah. Mary Clayton was her name.
Yeah, man.
Go, Mike. My favorite Beatles album would be Revolver.
Yeah.
I think they started with Rubber Soul, kind of spreading their wings, and then.
Yeah.
Revolver. I don't think it's the credit it deserved, being the album before Pepper.
No. And interesting stuff happened on Revolver, man. But you're right. Rubber Soul is when they stopped smiling. they stopped being Beatles and stopped being and started being a thoughtful young men with, you know, wives and stuff. But their hair grew longer and their faces grew longer, and it was a, you know, is there anybody going to listen to my story all about the girl that came to stay? Now that song probably could not have been a hit for anybody, like a new artist coming out, but nope. it sure expanded the Beatles' appeal, didn't it? You know,
yeah.
I get high when I see you go by. You don't realize it, you young people, but just to imagine, it was so unusual and unacceptable, really, to say, I get high in a song. You couldn't say, I get high. I mean, even when you're talking about, I'm getting happy, you couldn't say, I get high.
Right.
It wasn't done.
How about 1965?
I would venture to say it was pure art, and I hate to interrupt you, Mike. I know I'm sitting at the feet of giants here in this.
it was
the Beatles time, but I think what separates the Beatles partially is it was pure art.
All except for Think for Yourself with the fuzz bass, huh, Mike?
Yep.
George Harrison song, but they put. I've got a word or two to say about the things that you do. Da, 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 da. What was that? Had a real bass in it and a fuzz bass too. Come on. They were
able to do things for the first time.
Yes.
They had the freedom, and they had the ability, and they had George Martin, and they had all sorts of
that
things.
Was, you never heard anybody else doing fuzz bass.
No. What I was going to say just quickly was Michelle was nominated for Song of the Year at the Grammys in 1965.
It was, huh?
And it lost to King of the Road by Roger.
That's perfect. That's perfect, Mike. Where did you get that tidbit, Mike?
I've been using that for years.
Oh, my God.
Is that King of the Road?
Yeah. Michelle, man. And that was one of the big ones that John and Paul actually collaborated on. Paul came to the studio with Michelle, my belle. These are words that go together well. And that was he had that much. And Lennon contributed, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's all I want to say. I mean, it's, the two styles are so noticeable there.
Yep.
And they got
to get you into my life.
Oh yeah.
How do you guys rank Michelle in the pantheon, in the Lennon McCartney pantheon?
Man, that's up there. I'd say that's up there, but it's definitely a Paul song. Even with John's contribution, it's a Paul song, because Lennon wouldn't have put any French lyrics in any of his songs. You know, he was all about Chuck Berry and. Got to Get You in My Life as a combination too, Mike?
Yeah. Life is Very Short is Lennon.
Oh, that's that. Try to See It My Way.
Yep.
Got to Get You into My Life is all Paul. That's
No. Lennon had Life is Very.
Yeah, you're thinking. That's a different song though. You're thinking of We Can Work It Out.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, Gotta Get You Into My Life was I was alone. And there's another clue in here about McCartney being dead. I was alone. I took a ride. I didn't know what I would find then. That's a clue, a lyrical clue in the Paul McCartney death mystery. But anyway, I'm losing my place here. You guys talk for a minute, man. I've let it bleed to. That was in my past, Ed, songs like that weren't. I was a big time Beatle fan, and I wasn't going to get knocked off of that by anybody who was into the Stones, but Robin was early in his appreciation for both of them, because I remember we were still big time on our Beatles, you know, and he brought that. Well, we all someone we can lean on, you know. And I learned it from him. I'd never even heard the record, you know. We did that Let It Bleed, and I still do it. I like it. And that's another one. Here's another connection. Let It Be had just come out and finished the Beatles. And here's the Stones' answer to it. Comes out the next year. Let It Bleed. You know, that's just a real epitome of how different they were, huh? Let It Be, very spiritual. Mother Mary, it's the end of the Beatles. Just understand and let us go our own ways. And then the Stones come out with, feeling all right, feeling all right. You know, I mean, just, and it was a, I'll be in my basement room with a needle and a spoon. And I mean, it's, they were trying to be outrageous, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good album, though, man.
Where did you get that? How do you know that chord from? How did, what is that chord from Gimme Shelter that you played on your keyboard?
Oh,
what
I didn't.
That chord?
I didn't.
I thought you did.
No, Gimme Shelter, I didn't. Because I don't know it. I just, I know it starts out with that Mary Clayton. You said it had a nice intro, and it does.
Yes, it does. I think that's the best backing vocal in rock, too. I mean, my bias is totally coming out.
Yeah, she was, and then Tina Turner did it. Tina Turner took over from Mary Clayton. Remember that? She was the honky tonk woman on there. Hey, we got somebody else on the line. You guys, hang on. Let's find out who it is.
Bob.
Bob? Bob who?
Bob, it's Bob. Can you hear me?
Bob. Bob Hofford? I can't believe it.
Who's that other voice? It sounds like Ed Legg.
It's Ed Legg, and it's Mike Massey, and this is Bob Hofford from Mojo Music, from Island Jack, up in Wisconsin Dells. I've been dying for him to call. He won't do it. Hey, man.
Hey, Bob. What's going on?
Say hello to Mike and Ed. Bob.
Hey, Mike and Ed.
Yeah, this is going to be really tough. I thought it was tough because I can't shut up today for some reason. I'm doing all the talking, and these guys are feeling like they're interrupting me. So I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop, and you guys say hello. See if I don't talk. Yeah, see if I don't talk, because I've laid the groundwork. Bob, you've been doing Honky Tonk Women for most of your life. Were you a Beatles?
Are you talking about the song?
Yeah. Yeah, you've been doing those Honky Tonk Women too. But were you a Beatles fan earlier, a Stones fan earlier? What were you?
I guess, correct. You know, I was. I would probably lean more towards the Beatles because I'm a harmony kind of guy. And
yeah.
I always loved their harmonies, but he's both bands, you know, I appreciate them more now than I did back then, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan back then, but I certainly am now.
Yeah, and definitely, I was definitely much more of a Stones fan than I ever was as a kid because, I mean, I appreciated their hit records, but for example, now, here, I gotta get my glasses. Let It Bleed, okay? No, Let's Spend the Night Together, remember that one? How high do you think, a big hit, we all remember what it was. How high do you think that got in Billboard's top 100?
See, you're the trivia guy.
Number 55. It wasn't a big hit.
Really?
Big hit. It wasn't a big hit, but look at how we've all remembered it for so many years, you know?
They had to change the words on that song.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's spend some time together.
Let's spend some time together. Now I need you more than ever. Yeah, I remember that. And it was a big fight about it, too. They didn't want to do it.
That was one of the best faces Mick Jagger ever pulled in his life.
Best faces? Faces?
Yes, you should see the face.
When he sings the wrong word? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
See, nowadays they would just take that word out and replace it with jarbled or garbled up anything.
Yeah, whatever you
and
want.
And you would think that they would have said something. You know, if there's a line in anything, if you watch the news really closely, something that comes out in the news that they don't want you to hear, it sounds like words, but it's backwards or upside down or rewritten somehow, you know. But anyway, Bob, nice to hear from you, man.
Well, I really called in with a question.
Oh, all right.
You know, you're my trivia guy. You're
okay.
My go-to guy. You're my
and I don't mind if you stump me either, man.
Anything music. But I guess my question is were the windmills turning on the way to work today?
You know what? I went down the interstate and not down 12. But I assume they probably were, because it's kind of a windless day, and they seem to turn better on days when it's not windy. But yeah, so you've been listening to the show. You just won't call in. Is that what you're saying?
I listened.
Yeah.
Sure.
But anyway, Mojo.
I called in earlier, Brian. But
you did? I know. I was late.
We're running late.
Mojo Music has moved in the Dells from where Who Hot is now. Is it Who Hot?
Yeah.
To over where...
Exit
87. Where Who Hot is now, and you've moved over to Wendy, where Wednesdays used to be. Wendy's.
Right. We're the very first building off of Exit 87.
Yeah. And it's a nice big new modern store with lessons and guitars and amps. And what else do you sell, man?
Oh, let's see. Bonnie's got her gift shop going up here pretty nice.
Yeah, you.
Musical jewelry and knickknacks. And, hey, we got lava lamps.
No, you don't really.
Yeah, we do. We got lava lamps. Yeah.
And are you selling them, or you just have them?
No, we've sold a few. There's people out there that still want them.
Bob does some pretty cool artwork. He's a sign guy, and took some glass brick and labeled some stuff on them, and he made some wooden, they look like they're burned. Did you burn those?
They're reproductions.
Gibsons and Fenders on old wood, which is really, they're really cool, and he sells those in the store too. Island Jack, man, we do some Beatles and some Stones, and when we get
do,
together.
We do, and it's been a blast playing with you and Stevie.
Yeah, that guy can play.
Island Jack's been going on now for a long time. I think Stevie played last week. We were talking like 16 years that the name Island Jack's been around, and you were part of that for quite a while.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Well, you gave me a job when I didn't have one. And now here I'm just coming around crap on you and just play when I feel like it. No. I don't know.
That's mean.
You know I was talking about these. I have a favorite Beatles album, and it's probably not one you guys would think of. Mike, you know this one, and it's loaded with songs that were bubbling kind of close to the surface hit wise. Beatles 6. Does that sound familiar to you? The sixth album was called Beatles 6, and it had Kansas City, and that 8 days a week. You like me too much, 'cause you like me too much, and I like you. Remember these songs? Bad Boy. A bad little kid moved into my neighborhood, and I don't want to spoil the party. Words of Love by Buddy Holly, and it had.
Is that an American album?
It sure is, man. And it's got.
What's the English version?
Look, what you doing? I'm feeling blue and lonely. Would it be too much to ask of you what you're doing to me? Remember that song? How about? Yes, it is. If you wear red tonight, remember what I've said tonight. For red is the color that my baby wore. Yes, it is. Dizzy Miss Lizzy, tell me what you see and every little thing. Every little thing she does, which Yes covered, it does for me. Now, have I made my case for that being a fabulous Beatle album?
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Not the name of the album I've never heard of.
Some of those songs are in there. And they weren't big hits. In fact, Yes It Is was a B-side for I Don't Want to Spoil the Party. So it was, but it was on that album, man, and I've enjoyed playing it and singing it my whole life. I don't really have a favorite Stones album, but I like all their stuff, and I think I might get in there right there with Edwin, Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers and those.
Hey, Brian, remember when the Stones came to Rockford, Illinois?
Yes, I was there.
Are you kidding?
I didn't make it, but no, they it was a big, wasn't it a big
petition drive?
From,
yeah, because they were going to come from Chicago, and they said, why can't you come just a little farther and come to Rockford? And the
did you go?
Yeah, Metro Center there was about 10,000 seats, and they were there, man.
Oh yeah, my God! How old
never
were
thought,
you?
Never thought they'd ever get the Stones.
How old was I?
And they pulled it off.
Cheap Trick. Robin invited me to go, so I went with him and Cheap Trick. So I think it was about, 83 or 4.
Oh, so it was not.
Yeah, yeah.
It was not early Stones, in other words.
It was what?
It was not an early Stones thing. It
no,
was a
it wasn't.
That's amazing.
We were just kids then.
Oh, yeah. But it was cool because Cheap Trick was a pretty, you know, well-established at that time, and it was in Rockford. So we parked underneath the parking under a bank that night and walked across the street, and everybody in line was hollering at those guys, of course. And I was sitting there with Robin watching the Stones, man. It was fun. It was a big night.
Hey, I got some of those pesky customers coming in. So it's been fun talking with you guys. I'll contact more often, I promise.
What if, you know, if you just drop eye contact with them and turn your back? They will. They won't bother you.
All right, thanks. Good talk to you guys.
All right, Bob. See ya.
See you. Bye.
Mike Massey, what a good sport you are, man. You need to come in here and do one of these podcasts yourself and let me be a guest on yours for once, because you've been so special to me a number of times here, man.
What I'd like to do is come in and be your sidekick.
Well, you could do that.
Yeah.
Ed has done that, and he did a great job at that.
There may be some gunplay, but Mike probably got me beat on the Beatles. In fact, not probably.
Well, you know, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't talk to you about the same things that I talked to, you know, Mike about. So, I mean, it'd be a totally different thing. You would both chime in on your different things. But, Mike, you have to learn to say, you are correct, sir. You have to be Ed McMahon, and you might have to do an Alpo commercial too. Hey, I'm going to let you guys go. There's another phone call, and then we got to close up shop
Mike.
Here. I started
late.
All right,
hey, Brian.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. We love you.
Okay, dude.
Bye.
Love you, Brian.
Who is it?
We got our Steve.
Oh, Steve Nelson?
Steve Hopps.
Oh, Steve Hopps. What the hell? Can you believe it? Steve Hopps is here. You are amazing, and you just missed Bob Huffer. Oh, you're at the store. You're at the store, and you knew he was calling. Oh, you are, huh? Well, I'm playing your old keyboard here as we dig out these old songs. Yeah, I don't know if it works or not. I only use two buttons on it. So maybe it doesn't work anymore, but those two buttons are still good, you know? Piano and strings. That's all I ever need. Oh, yeah? That sounds about opposite of what you'd think, huh? Yeah. Yeah. London and Liverpool. Steve Haupt, by the way, everybody, is the keyboard player in Island Jack, plus he was the former owner of the Brat House, where we jam on Thursday nights in the Dells.
And he's been assigned by the Kalahari to go down to Texas and scout out restaurants and bars and get started on a new big project down there. And I don't know if that's a secret and I just spoiled it or what, but you're an amazing guy, man. And on top of that, you're reading Paul McCartney's biography. Man. Yeah, thanks, man. Hey, listen, in the mid-80s, I remember reading that Paul McCartney, on his publishing alone, okay, just what he made on his songwriting and what he owned in other publishing interests, was making $5,000 an hour, 24/7. Can you imagine that kind of money? $5,000 an hour, 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Apple was supposed to be a project for letting people who had a project and didn't have the money to come in and do something creative. You know, that was part of that setup. This they did, huh? Oh, fun. I gotta go, but the first Apple record was Mary Hopkin. Those were the days, my friend, they thought they'd end. And Paul, and Yesterday is the most recorded, re-recorded song of all time. 200, and back in the 80s, it was over 200 artists that already recorded it. And it was, you too, man. Come back when you can. See you, man. Brian Beebe, Monk's Bar and Grill, 6 locations in Wisconsin, Sorrento's at the Wilderness, MadisonTalks.com. You can see this, hear this podcast anytime you want, MadisonTalks.com, 24/7. And stay tuned for the Mitch Hanks Show at 5 o'clock. Talk to you later.